There's their take. There's your take.
And this is our take.
Our take with Jill Kasich and Stacey Slayton on the Horn.
Saturday morning. We are back live in studio together. I'm Jill Kasich, joined by KVU Stacey Slayton, and dang, it feels good to be back on air.
Welcome back to America. Does it feel foreign to you because you're never here?
It does, and I also almost just blew out my eardrums, which is why the opening to the show was a little bit delayed. So if I'm talking a little bit louder, it's because I literally cannot hear anything. I think I blew them both out.
You know, I found a little joy in that, seeing you nearly jump out of your chair. It was almost like the reaction, the player who got hit by DJ Baptiste from Hutto.
Gosh.
If you guys have not seen that, and Dylan, thanks for bringing that
baby
to our attention.
Yes.
I mean, that was a big boy hit.
That was so good that Dylan was showing us before the show, and I had to have him rewind it like two or three times because I just was not expecting it. He just came out of nowhere and like, bam.
I mean, and that's a wide receiver for Hutto. Oh. For those of you who don't follow high school football here in the Central Texas area, obviously Hutto completed the undefeated regular season, and yeah, DJ Baptiste, one of the many weapons Chase Griffin, who's a UCLA commit, has at his disposal.
Is
disposal even a
I don't think
I
so.
You know what? I tried to put together exposure and disposal.
Yeah, you know what?
Which exposure doesn't make any sense either.
And you tried to save face, so good for you on that. I appreciate it. But speaking of undefeated seasons, we are going to get into a little bit of UCF football, where College Game Day is, and talk about some other undefeated teams. But we have a full great show for you guys today. Not only
all
are we going to
college football,
it's pretty much all college football. I say that on the off chance that we're going to talk something that isn't college football. But as you guys know, every week we tell you what we're going to talk about, and then we proceed to not talk about anything that we say we're going to talk about.
We did that last week too. We were going to. I thought we were going to have at least 20 minutes on the Texas Rangers and their new manager, and it just didn't go that way. You know, sometimes it's not in the cards, and it's okay.
That's not the way the cookie crumbles.
We like to go the way life just flows us, or maybe the wind.
Can I also say I'm really happy to not be doing the show from a toilet this week?
I wasn't
actively going to the bathroom, but I had to hide in a bathroom stall. And
sorry, thanks.
Hey, speaking of cussing on air, our boy Lee Corso, if you missed him this morning, he had an S-bomb as well. So, Stacey, you're in good company.
I'm a big fan of Lee Corso. You know,
you're
I liked the F-bomb
company
he dropped a few years ago. I'm very pleased with what we heard from him this morning on game day. It was so funny, though, because you told me that, and I said, really, again? Like, you think you would learn, but I guess he didn't get any... I don't know that he had any kind of... punishment, which, come on, people, it's honestly really stupid. The whole cussing rule.
Yes.
I know, just let's stop being so offended, which I know is hilarious to say in 2018.
But. I think we can draw the line at like the F-bomb, maybe don't drop those. But yeah. I think there's some other words we can have a little bit of slack with.
I mean, when you're caught, if it's personal or if you're attacking somebody, maybe don't do it.
Not with vengeance, but if you're using it to add some colorful language to your statement and to pack a little punch, I'm all for it.
Let's just be honest. Nothing feels as good as satisfying. Ugh. It's like you don't do your point or your emotion justice if you don't punctuate it with some colorful language as you.
Do you remember the first time you cussed and like got caught by your parents?
I remember the first time I said the F word, but I mean, I was with a friend. Of course, I would never in front of my parents. So
I was in the back seat of my dad's truck, and he was driving, and I dropped a really great F-bomb. It was used properly.
Nice.
And he turned the car around. He stopped. He turned around and he said, "Don't you ever say that again." He goes, "But it feels really dang good, doesn't it?"
I was about to say, I would not expect that from your dad. I'd be like, "That's my girl."
And I always remember that because you're right. It packs such a good punch when you use it.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
I think the first time I said the F word in front of my parents was when I got my cell phone stolen. So I feel like that's appropriate.
Yeah, that
I think they understood.
Well, chime in on the show. Let us know the first time you dropped an F-bomb, or also anything that is on your mind today in the world of sports. It doesn't have to be college football related, but extra points if it is. Get us on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. You can also get us on all of the social medias at This Is Our Take. You can get Stacey on Twitter at
Stacey. Stacey S underscore KVU.
And I'm at Jill Kasich. And Dylan's at Not That Fry. Next. There we go.
So, if I put underscores in there, I'd get confused too.
Well, it's like a station mandated rule. We all have the same handle. It's just, you know, like Sean Clinch is Sean C underscore KVU. And I used to just be Stacey Slayton. And you know what? I wish I could go back to that because it's just so simple.
Yeah.
It's just easy.
I like it.
Yes, please text us in. Also, your don't do that because I feel like we didn't get any last week. Maybe we did. I just feel like I am starving for some don't do that material. And maybe because we have a lot. There's a lot to work with this week.
There's a lot of things to not do this week. Yes. You know what? So why waste any time? Let's just get into it. Don't do that.
It's not good. It's not. No, don't do it.
No!
Don't f*** with me, all right?
Don't do it.
Oh, don't do it.
Don't you put that evil on me!
All right, so I'll go first.
All right.
And this is not going to be very popular with Texas fans, but I do think you're
starting out hot, Stace. Yeah. Bring the fire.
I just need to drop another S-bomb and then, Lee Corso and I can ride off into the sunset.
Can you say that again so we can rile people up a little bit more before you actually get into your don't do that?
No.
Calling all Texas fans.
All Texas fans. I think anyone with a level head will agree with me, but hats off to Lil Jordan Humphrey. He has been so much fun to watch this season. However, his catch in the Crabtree corner, let's please not compare that because those stakes were nowhere near the same. So those of you, shout out to our best friend Alex Stockwell saying that was major redemption for the Crabtree catch. Don't do that. Come on. That will forever and always be the Crabtree corner. It lives on. And for Texas people, in infamy, but for Texas Tech Red Raider fans' eyes, in bliss? I'm having a hard word with hard. Yep. All right. It's your turn. I'm just going to dismount after that. Never mind. I can't spit. Words are hard.
Words are very hard. My don't do that goes out to the one and only Zach Smith. Yeah. Don't air your dirty laundry if you're not going to come at us with something good. Like, don't tease us of, oh, I know all about you, Tom Herman. I know your secrets. And then don't spill the tea. Like,
I know.
Well, I came here for some spillage.
Well, because either he doesn't have anything or he's just, I don't know what that was. I know it's been 5-6 days now, but what in the world is that guy thinking?
Just like back it up. I don't know. The thing that I think irritated me the most out of all of it was that he said, my life was ruined on social media because of this, and then he's going out and doing the exact same thing to someone else. Like, then don't do that. Don't do that.
Well, no, his life wasn't ruined on social media. I mean, his life was ruined because there was something there, and I don't know the case, but this guy is obviously has some serious issues, and he's coming from a place of he's lost everything. He has nothing to lose at this point, so he's trying to take other people down for it. And look, if you're someone who's accused of domestic violence, aggression is not something that would look well on you, and that's not something you should go with, especially on social media. So just everything that he did on Sunday with everything he said and pulling in Michelle Herman on that, tagging her, that's honestly what I think is so disgusting. And I just... That guy. That's the wrong approach, you know. If you're trying to get people on your side,
maybe if you're accused of assault of any sort, like let's just not be aggressors. Then
I mean, that was just crazy.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of heat, I guess, for Austin media being too soft and not asking Herman about it. And just to kind of say, I understand that there's no harm in saying, hey, look, this was said, do you have a response? And all he has to say is no comment. However, I think most of, after talking with our colleagues, it's There was nothing. The attacks didn't indicate any kind of NCAA violation. It has nothing to do with the job he's doing at Texas.
Okay,
no,
but,
listen, but it's all personal. So,
and when has that stopped the media before?
No, and that's a good point.
Like, why? That's very true. And I ask you this because you are Austin media. Like, how come these questions haven't been raised? Like, why does Herman get a pass in all of this?
Well, the questions have been raised in terms of the strip club thing. He was asked mm-hmm. about that, and that was more so the story there was because were there high school coaches there with him at the strip club because that would be an NCAA violation? Did they use school funds at the strip club because that would also be an mm-hmm. NCAA violation? I think that's why those questions were raised. And Herman answered those and said, look, yeah, I was at a strip club. My wife knew where I was. There were no, he denied any kind of high school funds. Or high school NCAA funds, school funds from Ohio State used at said establishment, which... Come on, I feel like he would be smart enough not to do that, but you never know.
Yeah.
Sometimes power gets to people.
I don't know. I do agree that the issue could be pressed a little bit more, mm-hmm. but I don't know. That's,
I think,
present that to you because.
No, and I'm with you. And I wasn't at the press conference on Monday. And I had, I had some conversations and I was like, I was shocked that nobody asked about it. Shocked. Even with some, there's a couple of people in our media scrum, if you want to call it, who you're like, that person's going to ask it. So everyone's kind of waiting on pins and needles. And nobody asked about it. And I think it was, from what I understand, everyone was talking about it before and just had it, most people were in the agreement to not bring it up. Because I think in their mind, they didn't want to put any kind of credibility behind it because we all do know Zach Smith is garbage, but I do think it's worth asking.
But aren't you taking away credibility if there's nothing behind it? Like if Herman comes out and says,
potentially.
Potentially,
but again, it's all TMZ stuff. And so it's a he said, she said battle about, hey, you cheated on your wife. Like any, I could say it'd be like Jill cheats on her boyfriend all the time. And then what? I mean, it's just like it's just going to be a he said, she said battle. Unless if, like you said, Zach Smith says, I have evidence. I've just got evidence tonight. Now I'm going to bring all you guys down. Okay, well, where's the evidence? Show it. Why are you holding? You're clearly not holding back in all these other ways.
Yeah.
So
I do like the text that we just got in. Okay, cool. Hook 'em. That was probably the best response.
I mean, and anyone who said, please, Texas fans, make the shirts. If we don't make the shirts, we are like, where are we at as a society? I was, of course I didn't go to Texas, but if I did, I would have been the first person to buy that shirt because that response is hysterical.
Yeah.
And honestly, quite good.
I just feel like we're watching two children bickering and there's facts somewhere. Like this whole story has to come from some sort of fact, right? Like it's not just completely pulled out of thin air. There's something that started this. So we need to dig deep and find out what it was that actually started this. And not we need to, because it could be a personal issue, which in that sense, like, I don't think it needs to be necessarily mm-hmm. aired. But yeah,
it was bad.
Little boys need to grow up.
And I can't get past the fact that Zach Smith, and I don't mean to laugh about it, but the Twitter rant was just crazy.
Yeah.
But the fact that Zach Smith has all these allegations of domestic abuse and then he's being so aggressive and so irate on social media.
Yeah.
Crazy. We did get a text in, which was another don't do that, because I told Jill we could have a full segment on that today. Mm-hmm. Major Applewhite and Ed Oliver, don't do what you did on Thursday night on national TV, terrible look by both. Look, I don't agree with Ed Oliver. I think Major got a lot of heat for what went down. But mm-hmm. look, there are team rules for a reason. If you're not going to help the team and you're not going to be with them to finish the final stretch of the season, you don't deserve to have the rights of starting players.
Well, and I was reading a little bit more on that. And what Major Applewhite came out and said was that the jackets are meant to be worn by players to keep them warm during the game, to keep their muscles warm, to keep them ready to go back on the field. He said it was 50 degrees out there. Like, these guys need to toughen up a little bit. They need to not be wearing jackets. Like, that was a full-down puff coat jacket that you're wearing when it's 20, 30 degrees out. And he's wearing it when it's 50 degrees sitting on the sideline. And he was like, look, it's an honor for those players who are playing to wear them. I didn't even want the players who were playing to wear them because it wasn't cold enough to be wearing them. It wasn't a necessity. They needed to toughen up. And so he said, I was just treating Oliver the way that I would treat my other players and meant no disrespect by it. And I get that.
Yeah. We got a text in. Sorry, I just started like laughing while you were talking. Someone agreeing with me on the Crabtree corner. I totally agree. Let the Sand Aggies have their little corner. I mean, they have to live in Lubbock for crying out loud. That's mean. I'm just kidding. No, I love my school and I love the people of West Texas, but I will be the first person to tell you Lubbock is not the most ideal place to live, of
course.
That's
a college town, right?
It's a college town. That's the best thing about it. Weather's awful. You're so far from anything really cool like Austin. So yeah, I tried to get to Austin as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I feel like college towns though are cool in their own
college,
little right.
You know? Yeah, I mean, well, that was the best thing about it. And that's why I feel so bad for schools like TCU and SMU sometimes because you're in like a metroplex or even Houston because you're in such a big city and you just don't get that same atmosphere where everywhere you go, everyone is all into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's different. You have College Station that's like that, a college town. Baylor, if you will. Waco's kind of different. Waco is wacko. So, but you still get a college feel here in Austin, just a little bit of a bigger scale because there's so much that's competing with it as well. Because we do have the tech industry, we have the music industry, the art, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you definitely have a good college feel here in Austin.
I was gonna say, it is neat on game day though to see the burnt orange out,
especially
and all that.
Downtown. I love that the school is downtown. I think it's great.
We got another don't do that in calling us out. Don't speak glowingly of using vulgar language.
And so, I just want to each their own.
Well, to each their own, but also I'll clarify it wasn't using it, I guess, in a vulgar sense, but yes, to each their own. There and know your audience. You know, there are people that I definitely do not use bad words around.
Oh, and, yeah, for sure. Like my bosses and my parents. And,
yeah.
But come on, you're listening to the horn. Like, yeah.
Every now and then.
To each their own. I don't think there's a problem with cussing. I think we need to get rid of, you know, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. But I understand some people just don't like it. We got another text in. Stacey, enjoying your show. Why didn't you ask Herman the question at the Monday presser? I know you were there. No, I actually wasn't there. For the first time all season, it was the first press conference I missed. I usually do go. I'm usually there every Monday, but I called in sick.
Because we usually see you on LHN.
Just trying to get that spotlight, girl. You know, right next to our boy, Sed Golden, he and I, we have our spot. Everyone kind of has their spot. It's unofficial, but we all just kind of sit in the same area.
You walk in, same someone's spot. In your spot, you're like, get up.
Actually, that has happened.
Did you tell them to leave?
No, I moved, and Sed was like, Stacey, what are you doing? Get over here. And so, I forgot who it was. We're all good friends, though. Can I just brag on Austin media? Everyone is so awesome in sports.
Yeah.
Especially. I mean,
even outside of sports. It's the best media market.
It's awesome.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to keep talking some sports. You're listening to Our Take on the Horn. Welcome back to Our Take here on the Horn. I don't know, Stacey and I were just chuckling about that ad that was on right before about you can do it in your underwear. And I said, I just caught the end of it because we were mid-conversation about something. But what a catchy little jingle.
Wait, what is that for?
Was it a car dealership?
GiveMeTheVIN.com.
What is that?
So easy, you can do it in your underwear.
All right.
Oh, so like if you're sitting at home, online?
Yeah.
All right.
I get it.
Hey, you got to catch people's attention somehow. If you're not going to use bad language because we're no longer doing that.
Caught my ear. All right. If you missed the first segment, we had a lengthy don't do that segment. We called out Zach Smith. We called out Lil Jordan Humphrey's corner, Crabtree corner. Mm-hmm. And we called out... Why am I drawing a blank?
Major Applewhite and Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
There's so much more.
I know. Someone texted in about Kevin Durant and Draymond Green getting into their little scuffle. And Draymond saying, we can win without you. We won before you were here. We'll do it again. Like, get out of here.
And then also, wasn't Steph Curry, isn't he injured right now?
I think so.
And there's
so.
Some other stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, is this the glass breaking? It's a little crack.
It's the downing of an empire.
It's going to fall out from it. The bottom's about to fall out. We can only hope, right?
LeBron and those Lakers are about to take over.
Oh, I forgot you're a Lakers fan. Actually, I don't, you know, I like Kevin Durant. I hope he is happy. I want him to find happiness.
Oh, we're now just sunshine and rainbows.
I know.
Hey, puppies for everyone today. Come see Stacy. You'll get some sunshine.
Good point. Before we keep going, sorry to cut you off. There was another texter that says, I'm an Ohio State fan and I'm so tired of this guy talking about Zach Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to put the bottle down and just move on. Another thing I thought was so interesting slash irritating about all of his texts is he kept putting LMAO on there, like over everything, like a mad psychopath. Whoa. Like, ha, 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 ha. Like everything he was saying, just LMAO, LOL.
Also,
and I'm just like, dude, you can't be laughing that much because you'd probably be dead. You can't breathe when you laugh that often.
Well, and if you're gonna laugh your butt off that much,
I know. We need to stop the LOL abuse.
I know.
I try to just stick with haha. If I'm like, oh, that's funny, but I didn't actually laugh, or ha ha ha, if you know I did, but I feel like LOL laugh at, and you know, if you don't actually laugh out loud and like your heart skips a beat, then you shouldn't use it.
If you're not on the verge of not breathing from laughter, don't use LOL.
Yeah.
All right. Seriously.
Stop LOL abuse.
Send in your thoughts and opinions on the world of sports. If you have a don't do that for this week, because people are feisty right now. It's the holidays. Everyone's in that mood. So people are feisty. Send in your don't do that. 512-337-3776.
Can we talk about something else real quick?
Oh, gosh,
what? It's still college football. Guys, we are going to talk Texas, Iowa State, and Big 12. I swear, we're going to get there, but we have a whole hour. Did you see, this is so good, Holly Rowe talked to Mike Gundy about...
No, but I saw you tweeted it.
Oh, you should...
Talked to Mike Gundy about wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Which, Dylan, we could use you on this segment.
I'm in.
All right.
For wrestling or to get some audio?
For wrestling.
It's probably too late to get audio now.
Anyways, but Holly talked to Gundy on what head football coach would
win in a throwdown or like a rumble, and so she asked Mike Gundy about it because he's quote unquote a wrestling expert, and just basically who are the coaches that you wouldn't want to get in a fight with?
Yeah. All right, let's go to the audio.
A rumble royale, and I kind of went to bat for you because you're a former wrestler. Who do you think would win?
I would say going to bat for me is a good choice with the wrestling skills. Now, there's two guys. The first guy is Charlie Strong would be a difficult task because I saw him working out when we were at head coaches meetings in Arizona a few years ago, and I don't know if anybody wants to tackle him. And then the other guy you got to watch out for is Mike Leach because he'll have a sword. If Leach has a sword, he knows how to use it. He's been trained and very talented with the weapon. He would be a tough guy to beat.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Oh, my gosh. I love Mike Gundy. And guess what? Les Miles is joining the fold now because he's taking over Kansas.
Yep.
So Big 12 Media Days is going
to
be awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to see Leach and Gundy in a wrestling match with Leach pulling out a sword mid-match. And like the fact that Gundy thinks that he's trained on how to use a sword...
As if he's like this. Oh,
but
my.
Maybe he knows more that we don't know. Maybe he has some insider information.
Maybe there's like an underground Big 12 coaches lounge that we don't know about and they all hang out. Well, ex-Big 12 coach because, you know, Leach is no longer with the Big 12. But only if he wears an eye patch too would I buy
a ticket.
For that? Yeah. No, I mean, I'd do it without the eye patch. But I do think, you know, if you're gonna go for it, you should, like, really go for it.
Yeah.
It's all about the show in wrestling.
It's all
about the show.
It.
You have to commit.
Wrestle. But it also begs the question, Mike Gundy or Tom Herman, because they got in a little skirmish almost.
They did, but it was smoothed over so quickly that it was like you didn't really get a taste of what it would be like.
Everyone on social and on Twitter after that was they were definitely calling for Mike Gundy just because he's a loose cannon. I mean, he's got, you know, he gets crazy eyes sometimes, and it's the Arkansas waterfall. You just can't, you can't bet against it.
I just want to have a full conversation. I feel like it should be a podcast of Mike Gundy and Ed Orgeron. I'm going to butcher his name. I just like...
Yeah, but you can't understand anything
no,
he's saying.
But hearing the two of them like back and forth, it's
You're
like
right.
those deep raspy...
That's good.
And Ed's is like that Cajun backroads good twang.
You're just like, yeah, staring at him like, oh, yeah, okay. Well, next question. Let's move on. Speaking of Oklahoma State, Texas and UT fans, the Texas Longhorns, big Oklahoma State fans today, hoping that they pull off a win against West Virginia.
Yeah.
Because then that will help with the Big 12 race. So we're going over scenarios. Scenarios, like I like to say.
I was going to say, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's look at the Big 12 picture and what Texas fans need to pull for to get into the championship game. All right, you're listening to Our Take on the Horn. You could put an ocean between us. Welcome back to Smooth Jam Saturdays here on the Horn. Just kidding. You're listening to Our Take. You're stuck with us, guys.
Everyone knows that's your voice. Just saying, no matter how deep you try to go and change
it. I try really hard, and actually, this is probably the most embarrassing thing. I practice that at home with my boyfriend.
Whoa. Okay.
I think I really creep him out sometimes.
Hold on. You practice that. You realize how that sounds when you say you practice that at home with your boyfriend?
I practice
your
smooth,
deep voice, your smooth
Saturdays.
Sexy, your smooth,
no,
sexy voice.
No, I practice saying smooth jam Saturdays.
And what's his reaction? Does it work?
No, he is usually playing Rocket League, and he looks over at me.
I don't even know what that is.
And
that
he just shakes
awful.
His head, rolls his eyes, and continues playing his game.
Well, I don't know who's more of a loser in that scenario right there. We did get a text in, a Big 12 coach, Royal Rumble. Bring back King Kong Mangino. Oh, that would be funny. That's hilarious. And then another texter says it started with Leach talking about Pac-12 coaches brawl. I did see a little bit of that last week.
Yeah. If you missed our last segment, we were talking wrestling and college football coaches and who would be the best matchup. We didn't come to a complete decision, so we're going to move on, and we are going to give Texas football fans a little bit of hope here heading into the final weeks of the season. Stacey, you have the Big 12 chart of what Texas fans need to hope for. It is and it isn't. It really all comes down to one big game today.
Well, it just shows you that I don't do well with statistics and analytics, because I looked at it. I took one look at this graph and just thought, no, I can't. And I showed it to Jill, and she, summed it up in like 2 minutes.
It's the colors. I can't do math, but I can
do colors. The color scheme. It's quite an extensive graph of every situation possible. If I can just simplify it. Everyone mm-hmm. knows Texas needs to take care of business. You need to beat Iowa State today.
Yes.
Really need to win out. And then you hope that Oklahoma State beats West Virginia or West Virginia beats Oklahoma next week. Because regardless, if Oklahoma gets a loss, Texas, of course, has the head-to-head there. Mm-hmm. But if West Virginia wins out,
if West Virginia wins out and Texas wins out, then it is Texas versus West Virginia.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See, that's so, I let you break this down?
I was going to say, essentially, what Texas needs is they need a West Virginia loss today. They're going to become big OSU fans. Texas needs to win, like you said. They need to take care of their own business, which is really just what they need to do. Mm-hmm. And then, essentially, if West Virginia loses today, if Oklahoma State wins and Texas wins, they're good.
Yep.
They're going to be in. If West Virginia wins, then next week they need West Virginia to win out. Is basically it.
Yeah. They definitely need West Virginia to top Oklahoma.
This is it, Texas fans. You're going to be big OSU fans today, and if not, you're West Virginia all the way. You cannot get off that West Virginia bandwagon once you hop on it today. So,
nice
pick your poison.
Very, very simple.
Pick your poison.
I just got all kinds of confused when I looked at this map, and I felt like I had a good grasp on it.
No, it's not too confusing, but those are your options, Texas fans. So, speaking of, Texas needs to take care of business today. They need to get this win because, again, if they don't win, it doesn't matter what West Virginia does.
Yeah, so if they lose today, they're pretty much, their hopes are dashed because
they're tied with Iowa State
in second right now. Yeah. So, The stakes are high. It's your last home game, senior day.
Okay, how crazy, though, has this season been? Looking at it, even just a couple weeks ago when we were, when confidence was at an all-time high for this Texas program and the week they became bowl eligible, it was like, oh, man, bowl eligible way before Thanksgiving. This is so great.
November, yeah, you guys got it.
And now here we are, and it's like, are they going to make it? Like, Can we call in some life support here?
Well, I think what gives you confidence and hope is that for the last few years, we've seen Texas struggle to close out games. They've been in so many close games, even under Charlie Strong, and then, of course, last year with Herman, and this year as well. That trend has continued. But this year, they are coming out on the winning side more often than what we've seen in the past. So they're king of close games. Kings of close games, if you will. So, you know, I think that gives you a lot of confidence. I think what you're most concerned about today is your defense, because your defense has given up like a ridiculous amount of points to Texas Tech, West Virginia, Oklahoma. And so who would have thought, talking about the crazy season, that the defense was going to be more of the weaker unit and the offense was going to be the one that got all greased up and is the reason why you're coming up and winning these games.
They're a well-oiled machine.
Well-oiled machine. And I think a lot of that is because of just maturity from the team in general, but also the maturity of Sam Ehlinger. He has not thrown an interception in now 9 games, I believe it is. And it's
280 straight passes, I think.
Dang.
Yeah, and that's a Big 12 record with no interceptions in that streak. So
I just knocked on wood for you Texas fans. So
and I did so as well. So, yeah, I think especially going against a surging Iowa State team with Brock Purdy being the freshman phenom that he is, and then also Hakeem Butler, because the secondary is really struggling with Texas. So how are they going to handle Hakeem Butler, who is like 6'4"? Chris Boyd.
6'6", actually.
He's
6'6".
Well, and then also, I mean, you think of some of the other guys, the other weapons and wide receivers like West Virginia's. You've got David Stills and then even Tylan Wallace with Oklahoma, and they struggled against those guys. So that's, you know, you really hope those guys on the secondary defense in general can step up. But, you know, they've also been hit with a little bit of injury, but I just don't think the matchup goes well with them. So this is going to come down to the offense. And Sam Ehlinger and his... Speaking of great receivers, hopefully Colin Johnson. I don't know. I haven't seen the latest on him. Hopefully he's fully healthy. But if not, you've got little Jordan Humphrey, Devin Duvernay stepped up. I still think you need to run the ball. Give it to Keyonte Ingram. Please.
Please.
We did get a text in that says Urban Meyer already looks miserable as heck in the first quarter.
I was going to say it's 14-3 Maryland. Maryland has the ball. So 3rd and 7.
How long is he going to be there? Like, seriously.
Urban?
Yeah.
Well, nothing else has come of that, right?
Mm-mm.
It just seems like he just looks miserable every single game. Like, his health, it seems to be deteriorating from my standpoint anyways.
Well, I think, you know, if you talk to some coaches, they'll all tell you they're all a little sick in the head just because of the – and I think we touched on this either last week or the week before. Is there something underlying that – you know, you look at a guy like Bill Belichick or you look at a Nick Saban and they just never seem happy and they never seem satisfied no matter how much they win. And I'm just like, I wonder, what is that, like a dysfunctional relationship or love affair you have with the sport?
It's like a love-hate.
And maybe that's like just sports fans in general. I mean, we could definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. We got another text in. Texas wins today despite the fact that Sam Ehlinger throws a pick. That's this texter's prediction. I don't know, man. Ehlinger's got my full confidence.
Okay, but I have to agree with this texter. We've talked about it. He's already set the record, I feel like it's time.
You think he cares about records?
No, but I'm just saying, like, he's set the record. He's gone how long without throwing an interception? Like, he's due for his time. I knocked on wood, so I'm hoping it doesn't happen, but I just wouldn't be surprised if it did.
You know, another thing that they've mastered really well this season, and I think this goes to them being able to pull out these close games, is they've done the 1-0 mentality, even when they've resulted in losses. And I think that is carried over into specific drives and series. So at the beginning of the week, you're thinking, go 1-0, just win this game. We're trying to go 1-0 against Iowa State, and then you get into the game, and the way that the Big 12 is and punches are traded back and forth, and so it comes to that final series, and you're like, just win this series, just win this drive. And then I feel like that's probably the mentality that they've gone with. And even Tom Herman said in his availability on Thursday that he stopped going big picture because he did that after the Oklahoma State loss. And tried to tell its guys, look, we still have all of our goals in front of us. We can still achieve everything that we've wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went, and then they lost to West Virginia as well on a crazy
and then
two-point
all of a sudden
conversion.
They couldn't achieve all the and goals so that they wanted
to. And he said, I tried that. It didn't work. No more of that. We're not even thinking about the Big 12. And so, which I think is, you know, is probably a good thing to do.
To take it one game at a time?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and we've talked about this and with the various people that we've had on, you know, throughout this season talking about looking ahead, what games do they really need to focus on? And everybody's had differing opinions. So, yeah, I think you can't look at this season and say, okay, we just want to get to the end goal. Like, you needed to focus week by week. And I think the outcome of these last few games have shown you that.
Yeah. It's like us. We take it like one podcast at a time. One
yeah.
radio show at
one
a time.
One radio show at a time.
Sometimes we win and sometimes we lose a lot.
Yes. Speaking of podcasts, though, we haven't even talked about this yet, and I'm going to drop this bomb, and I don't know if Stacey's ready for it, but I'm just going to give it out there. Stacey and I are also starting a podcast, so we're going to continue to do this show, obviously, but every Thursday we're going to drop a new episode that's going to be a little bit more off the cuff and maybe not as heavily sports related.
We'll expand.
Yeah, but you can catch all those at thisisourtake.com. So it's
not up and running yet, but it will be.
Yes, the site's up. It's just a shell for now. But yeah, check it out and follow along and
get our take on everything.
Yeah,
which God, you might not want.
Terrifying.
So we're just gonna throw stuff on the wall and see what sticks. Actually, no, we're gonna have fun with it. You guys will enjoy it. And again, you can listen at your leisure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're really excited about it. So basically, we're just taking our take.
Ooh. As I whack the microphone.
Yeah. And
Expanding the empire, if you will. Which we know you guys have
been
waiting
with
for.
Us, guys. We know that's what you want. We know we got to give the people what they want. That's why we're doing our take overtime, okay? That's why we're going to the podcast route, too.
Speaking of giving the people what they want, I'm going to give them a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more college football. You're listening to Our Take on the Horn. Just focus on me. Can you focus on me? All right, welcome back to Our Take here on the Horn. I'm Jill Kasich, joined by KVU's Stacey Sladen and our man providing the slow jams behind the glass, Dylon. We were talking about this at the break. Quick update for those of you that don't even care. Maryland is leading Ohio State 17-3, but Alabama and the Citadel are tied, people. They are tied at 7.
It's the downfall of an empire.
9:50
happening
left in the
right
second
in front of us.
Quarter. Yeah, we are watching the empire of Alabama football crumble. We're just kidding. But I did tell Stacey and Dylan at the break that I'm going to screenshot this score update so that I could remember when someone was like even close to Alabama in a game.
What do you mean? That's every first quarter at
it's
the
a
start
second quarter.
Of the clock. No, but I'm saying everyone's close to Alabama when you start the game.
That's just true. The best text of the
day. I know. I wanted to read it too, but I was waiting
go
for
go
you
ahead.
Guys.
Go ahead.
All right.
Can we get some intro music for this?
I like this.
Oh, man.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to go to deep voice. I'll scare
you. No, it's
you
fine. I got it. Let's not overplay it. All right. We got a great text in. Who would win in a 1-4-9 Royal Rumble? I got Big Stace over Kellner.
For sure.
Easily.
Yes.
I don't care that he's 6'2 or whatever. I don't care how tall.
See, BK would try to cheat to win.
Yes.
So,
totally.
Like, if he didn't try to cheat to win, he'd be like the first one eliminated. But
yeah.
Casey Studdard's got to be up there. He's way too competitive.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's just not fair. I feel like he should just be the referee.
He would have to officiate everything.
For sure.
Make sure the rules are followed.
Yeah, I would be the Mike Gundy in that scenario for sure. Totally. I've got the same haircut, so it's only fitting.
And BK would bring the sword.
Yes.
Yeah, to cheat.
Leech. Yeah.
Yep. What a cheetah. How dare he?
Oh, that'd be a good one. Can we schedule this?
Yeah, but we're so bad at actually going through with all of this stuff. We still, it's too, like,
it's been a year.
Oh, a year. See, a year that we still have not made BK pay. Maybe we should just prank him when he's not knowing about it, and that will be his payback. Because honestly, the reason why we haven't made him pay up is because we hate going to 6th Street. That was the whole thing.
It's a punishment for us, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on, man. I don't have time to do that.
I'm like, can we do a shot sitting on the couch in sweatpants?
Yeah, not down for this.
All right. We have had quite a show. Thank you guys for sticking through with us this far. We're not done yet, so don't get too excited there. But if you are just now tuning in, last segment, we talked about UT football and what they need to make it to the conference championship game. And essentially, again, just a quick recap, they need either Oklahoma State to win today or they need West Virginia to win out. So that's what you're looking at.
Yes.
And Texas has to win. So if they lose tonight, it doesn't matter what everybody else does.
I mean, I think they can win today and still lose to Kansas next week, depending on... Right.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Because I mean,
they need to win today. They need to win today.
Yeah. Need to win today. Yes. So hopefully the defense got a good night's sleep and they will be ready for Brock Purdy and Hakeem Butler and Matt Campbell. Because, I mean, good for him, what he's done.
Do they do
with the Cyclones?
Do the players have to like sleep in special place, like special dorms or whatever?
Special chambers.
Yeah, special sleep chambers. No, I just realized, you know, with like with the Cowboys, they do stuff like that where
they're
at their hotel and whatever.
No, they're at their. They don't sleep in a hotel. I don't think.
Not
I
for
think
home
they do
games.
Their dorms.
But I'm just trying to think. Maybe I'm not making any sense. Per usual.
You know what? That reminds me something that's so annoying with every broadcast this year is everyone's like, "Oh, Sam Ehlinger's born to be a Longhorn." And, oh, did you know that Andrew Beck and Brecken Hager are roommates? And also Sam Ehlinger and Cade Brewer, all Austin natives. Well, Andrew Beck's not, but it's just like there's like four storylines that every broadcaster comes anytime that Texas has been in the national spotlight.
Every time they were in the national spotlight. We also got
Longhorn Network today.
Very passionate text in. Texas cannot lose to Kansas again.
Very passionate text in?
Yes.
All caps?
Oh, all caps.
Yes, there is.
Which is also factual.
It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Famous last words. Can we mark that tape, please? Thank you.
I'll stand by that.
Okay. All right. Texas fans, send in your predictions for the game today for the rest of the season. How are you feeling heading into the final few games and what are you thinking here? What's going to happen with Texas?
Can we also talk about how this senior class has not, in my 8 years of what?
The team stays, we just got a text and the team stays in a hotel downtown for home games.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you. Right. That's kind of what I was wondering. If there's like special rules that, you know, curfew and bed checks.
I don't know why. Like, I feel like that would be creepy for me to know. Where do you guys sleep at in game night? Like, I just feel like I'm glad I didn't know that.
And I wasn't even asking it like that. It was just like a pure, like, nerdy curiosity
of
mine.
I know, but of course my mind goes there. I'm just that feels weird. Like,
Stacey's
sometimes
like
we have bosses who are like, "Don't you have so-and-so's number?" I'm like, no, that's totally inappropriate.
You should have thrown out, like, they stay at the Hilton on floors 3 through 43, only in rooms that end in odd numbers.
So every other one, okay, don't mess up. We're relying on you for this. No, that's just so weird and creepy and they're whatever. Moving on. What was I saying?
You're talking about the senior class.
Oh, the senior class. These guys have endured more adversity than I have covered. My colleagues, my coworkers, Sean and Mike and I were talking about this yesterday. Everything that they've been through, not just coaching, the coaching carousel with, they're recruited by Mac Brown, most of these seniors, the fifth-year seniors, played for Charlie Strong, also playing for Tom Herman, but also everything that went down with Charlie Strong and the donors and the racial slurs and some of the comments that were made. And you know, he came here and he suspended, 11 players, and then you had players tweeting at halftime of a game. I think it was Chris Boyd during TCU maybe, or maybe it's, sorry if it wasn't Boyd. And then everything going on with Tom Herman and the Ohio State stuff and it's been a ride for these guys. And so, and some of them, had told the media earlier in the week is like, you know what? One thing that has remained the same is we're still with the same guys, same players.
So, that's awesome.
I mean, that's really cool that, you know, they at least had one thing that was consistent was each other.
Aww.
Like you and I.
Stacey, you are so full of rainbows and sunshine today.
I just had to drop an S-bomb and then I was good to go.
I just love it. You got all that sass out of you.
Got to get the rage out early.
All that sass out. I was going to say we got another text, but it was the same one that said, yes, they stay at hotels, even on home games. So, boom. I was right about one thing.
You were.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap up our show today.
College football playoff prediction. Real quick.
No, because we didn't even get into it. Not enough time.
Bama.
Bama. No, the Citadel.
The Citadel is taking them down.
They're going for it, man. Prediction is that UCF will not be in the top four. Boom. Which we didn't get
into. And
they're
going to go undefeated?
They're going to go undefeated.
For the second straight year?
Yep.
But it's okay. They're going to give themselves championship rings anyway, so it's fine.
Womp, womp. All right. On behalf of KVU Stacey Sladen and her bold championship ring predictions, a man behind the glass, Dylan, thank you guys for spending another hour of your Saturday with us. I'm Jill Kasich. Whether you loved it, whether you hated it, this was Our Take.
Podcast on Thursday.